the tales.
I'm Jerry McGrew.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this is Days of Future Cast. We're back with more Age of X, this time Chapter 5, and an explosive comic book where everything is revealed. We're going to find out everything, Gary.
It's finally time to find out everything.
Maybe a little too much about this mystery, to be honest with you, if we're being honest with each other.
I like the cover of this, where Professor Xavier is freaking out with his AI hands. And there's all these shatters of everyone. You know, a mirror is shattering with pictures of everyone. I like Cannonball's face during this. Hello.
Cannonball's face is very good.
What's going on?
Who is the Black Panther lookalike in the bottom left?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Because it's just a black mask with some white eyes. So
it does seem like the Black Panther is just here.
Yeah. Poor Colossus just gets the logo of the comic book just written over his face.
Yeah, like, just directly over his face. Mm-hmm. They probably, maybe it was like bad drawing. Maybe the artist can't draw teeth very well and he decided to cover it up.
Also, Beast makes an appearance. And as far as I know, he's not been in any of these issues.
No.
He's not in this crossover whatsoever.
And this crossover was not line wide. So like, it's not like, it's not like Age of X-Man or like, you know, X of Swords or whatever, where like, yes, he's just in the X-Force version of this. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of tie-ins to this comic thing, the Age of X universe or whatever. But they don't have to do with Beast. Yeah. They have to do with the Avengers.
Which, who cares?
Yeah. They're okay. I read them, but I don't necessarily need to read them again.
Yeah. Feel you.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened last time?
We learned that Magneto did not kill Legacy, a.k.a. Rogue and Gambit, but instead hid them under the Fortress X to go investigate a weird room that he did not build, even though he built the rest of this fortress. In the meantime, he went to save Kitty Pryde as well as Charles Xavier, and he was confronted by the Moonstar Kadra, who is eventually won over by his speeches of, what the fuck does any of this have to do with anything, basically. Mm. Picture Magneto is just like the Pepe meme from It's Always Sunny, of just like looking at with the red with the red fucking not thorns,
the strings,
red strings behind him board. And everything. He's just doing that number. We should commission that.
What's the deal?
That should be our next artwork. It's just Magneto just in front of the board, just going like, "What is happening?"
So we start off with this thing, and Magneto is going to explain everything. And Rogue found the universe in a box.
Yes, that's the big thing. Yeah, we should.
And a cool little detail here. All of the people went out for war. It's war morning, like every morning, and the other army just didn't show up. And that's because Moira McTaggart, who we're going to find out is the face that this villain is wearing, has her attention elsewhere. She's here fucking with Magneto.
Yeah.
She threw him into the ceiling and everything. Moira / Legion, you know. And we're getting this voiceover of it from Charles Xavier.
Can we
talk about how he was in an argument?
Can we talk about the second panel on the first page?
Because
it's just it's a typical lineup of like all of the X-Men that were about to go out to battle, and they're just all like posing very scruffily. But like Storm, girl,
Battle Storm bikini,
girl. Yeah. What are you? That's not even like a bikini at that point. Like that is less than a bikini. And like Namor is right there going like, "This is my girl," basically.
Yeah.
Look how hot she
wearing
is.
Comparatively 20 times more clothing than she is. 100%. And he's Namor.
Yeah.
This is the kind of outfit that you wear. This is like a lingerie that you could fuck in.
Sure. Yeah.
Like you don't have to take this. You could take so little work to move this aside. Like
I would be scared of snapping the strings if I tried to move it aside. Like I would just think the whole thing would just fall apart underneath my obvious lust.
Yeah. It looks like your optic lust would just blast it into pieces.
That's my mutant powers, an optic lust.
Lust. The they call me the male gaze.
Oh God. That's good.
Yeah. This is Professor Xavier talking about waking up, you know, everything is different now. There's Rogue in a box, kind of recounting things and saying he remembers there being an argument one of the men having the argument was me, and it shows him standing over Legion with Dr. Nemesis.
Yep.
Again. He's kind of recounting things, and again, the Force Warriors have just shown up. They're about to fight, however, Daniel Moonstar has now become truth-pilled and is pushing back.
Yes. And she's like, Legion is basically being like, everybody, any enemies of mutant kind will be eradicated. And Daniel Moonstar is like, eradicated, my bro? that seems kind of extreme. Like, he was our general for 3 years. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't vote for this. And like, he kind of screams out, like, this is not a democracy. Like, we're a citadel under siege. Like, there's no place for conscious here. And then he just slams a bar into Charles Xavier, who is luckily standing next to Kitty Pryde, who has noted powers against giant metal bars.
Yeah, managed to phase him. But he was just out to fucking murk him, you know? One of the closest times, and who knows what happens if you die in this world, you know, but one of the closest times.
Yeah.
He's come to dying. We go back to Rogue and Gambit, and she's putting it all together. The reason why Kitty probably didn't see anything outside the world is because walls is it's all here. And then X starts talking to them.
Yes.
And she, this chilling, oh, X, is that you? And it's like, well, call me that if it makes you feel better. But, X is just an unknown value. As Moira McTaggart walks in, grabbing Gambit's rifle.
Yep.
And pointing it at them.
We go back outside to the X-Men crew, basically being very confused by the fact that there's nobody to fight. Cannonball is, of course, like, hey, we should just stand firm. It could happen at any time. We don't know what's going on. Like, we just need to keep doing what we're doing. Meanwhile, Basilisk, aka Cyclops with the worst mask that you've ever seen in your entire life, is there to kind of introduce questions of like, hey, it's weird, right? Like, that they do the same thing every day. It's weird that some of them have the same dog tags. Like, some of this just seems like it doesn't feel right. Like, it feels fake. Again, we've had this conversation. We had it in the last episode. We talked
it
about
happens
this.
A lot.
It happens a lot of like characters just looking at each other and being like, doesn't something feel off? Does this feel a little weird?
Age of X, the vibes are off.
Exactly. Yes.
Closing this loop on this thing, he says, hey, Madrox, you said something about the stars, right? And he's like, there's no blue shift. Like, the universe isn't expanding anymore. Like, and he's saying, this feels like somebody's making it up as they go along and they're getting all the details wrong.
Yeah. He eventually just says, like, I'm going to go start looking for answers, like, in the fortress. And anybody who wants to join me can join me. Cannonball is like, no, all of my people, I'm finally an important person in this comic book.
Yep.
You have to stay here. And then everybody just leaves Cannonball alone.
Everyone abandons him.
R.P. Yep. Cannonball. Like, feel bad for your ego, my bro.
Natural leadership is more important than narrative leadership.
Yeah.
Here. Force Warriors and the New Mutants kind of posture against each other. For a little bit until Legion just freaks out. He's like, she said this was going to happen. She said that we'd turn against each other.
Yes.
And Xavier wakes up. Is like, tell them, tell them who we're talking about. And we cut over to Moira.
Yep.
Pointing this super rifle at Gambit and Rogue.
And she demands to have the box back and to keep it around, to try to, telling Rogue to basically like put it on the ground and slide it over to her. Gambit takes a moment of opportunity to like hit her in the face with one of the cards. I think he charges up the rifle somehow and it explodes in her face, something like that. Like, it's kind of hard to tell what's happening to be honest with you.
He throws a card. Yeah. The art in this isn't the best storytelling. He throws a card at her. She takes the box down to get it out of his line of sight so he can ambush her with this.
Yeah.
The rifle goes off and shoots, somewhere else. So she still has the rifle, and then ends up smacking him with it.
Yeah.
The front of it is blasted off because it's shot,
I will say, this doesn't look like I have the same issue with this issue that I did in the last issue where everybody looks kind of off model a little bit. Like, this doesn't particularly look like Moira to me, but she does look very cool. She looks like Evil Jean Grey for most of this comic book. And I'm kind of here for that. So
yeah. And finally a costume for Moira McTaggart for the first time until the Krakoa era.
Interesting. I didn't think about that, but yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah. She has a costume, which is cool. She basically says, you fucked up your rifle and you can't fight me because I'm your god. I made this place and you can't kill God with a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Smacks Gambit. Rogue tries to run and she says God is omnipresent and just appears in front of her, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
And basically says, like, I'm gonna have to kill you, but that's not even gonna be enough. Somebody sent you. I'm gonna have to start this all over again.
Yeah, basically saying she's going to wipe this entire world clear. We jump back over to Legion, who is getting an earful from Xavier, which has to be the most exhausting thing to be an X-Men about, is just to hear Xavier talking all the time. But he's basically saying, like, hey, he's telling everybody, like, how it used to be, what he remembers. Specifically, Legion, like, hey, I used to be your dad. I wish I could have been a better one. Let me give you this, like, super powerful telepathic hug where I'm just going to give you a bunch of memories. And I'm going to unlock a bunch of your memories so that you'll know that they're your own. Like, they're not going to be my memories, showing it to you. I like that it goes into, I don't know what you call this with the dots, the kind of hatchwork.
Art. Stippling.
Yeah, stippling. I like that. Yeah. I like that, that one panel of this is there for like that.
They're called Benday dots.
Okay.
They are old comics printing.
Yeah, exactly.
The Roy Lichtenstein drew those.
I've always been a Roy Lichtenstein fan. So.
Yeah, like he made pop art about those, but old comics used to have that. It used to be a printing thing. So he's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Xavier says, like, I'll explain everything. Just come with me, Kitty. And she goes, my name is Catherine. Let's go to Magneto's control room. You know, that's where Cyclops is probably heading. And I love this, where she's like, yeah, of course, let's go see Cyclops, whatever that is.
Poor Kitty. Poor Catherine. I mean, she's just like along for the ride on this. And then, of course, we have like some random mutants that are like, this, which is the X-Men legacy team of like, are we going to follow these people? And they're like, sure, okay, because we have to check in with the actual X-Men legacy team. They actually crisscross. So as Catherine is leading Xavier through walls, the Basilisk team basically is heading the other way. And I love Iceman's comment of like, do we have Ghost? I didn't know we had Ghost.
Yeah, Ghost now. Yeah. And Xavier says hi to Scott. You know, good to see you again. Mm-hmm. You know, you want the truth, come and hear it.
Yep. And he gives a big long speech for all of the X-Men to hear. And he wants them to kind of hear exactly what happened. And we jump back to 7 days ago. So this has only been this universe for a week. We haven't been like here for 3 years like we thought. And this is Xavier and Dr. Nemesis arguing over what Dr. Nemesis is doing to Legion, which is basically using psychic powers to go into its mind and delete or to kill the personalities in order to presumably heal him so that he won't be a fucking crazy person like Legion is in the comic books. So
it's real weird that Xavier seems so powerless during this.
Yeah.
Like, he's just kind of like, just let me do my work. I'm fixing this. And Xavier's like, no, you should probably stop. And eventually he goes in and shows him. You know, but he does really seem like Dr. Nemesis has the authority here. I read Utopia era X-Men pretty well, but I don't remember exactly why Dr. Nemesis has this much authority.
Yeah, because I feel like the Utopia era starts with him in kind of a place of power or a position of power. And I never understood like why, other than his like,
he's like
science brain team.
The X-Club, the science team.
But I do know like Xavier's position at this point had been like downgraded quite a bit. Like nobody was really listening to this dude during Utopia. So
that's true. But it is also his son. I can imagine him just being like, don't you need a note from me to do this or something?
Yeah, seriously. Like, it seems like you're just doing this on a human, like, or even on a mutant, I guess. But like, you're doing this on a conscious body without its permission. Like, it seems kind of weird, bro.
There'd be laws if there's not, you know, my authority. He takes them in and they see what's happening. It's a prison camp here. And the idea was to give Legion the power to put these, you know, have these totally under lock and key, and they would just disappear. But they're not disappearing; they're getting killed.
Yeah,
there are skeletons everywhere.
And as they realize, like, something is wrong, Xavier tries to get out, but can't. He's not able to. And we find out that there's this other personality in Legion's brain who is there to protect all of the other personalities.
And
this is in the form of like a giant Krakoa, to be honest with you. Like, it looks like an island that eats people. So
a big earth monster.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's there to protect David. It's there to protect Legion, right?
Yep. Xavier tries to fight him or fight it, you know, because it's a psychic plane.
Xavier's super confident about his psychic plane abilities, by the way.
He is. On the psychic plane, I think, not creature.
It must be exactly like playing Kobe, right? He's just like so fucking confident. Like, if I was like, I'm going to take the ball, Kobe, and Kobe's just like, on the psychic plane?
On the court? I think not. When it comes to round ball, ye little man of faith.
Round ball.
Yeah. I think it used to be called round ball, right? That's an old slang term for basketball.
Probably, right? Yeah.
I think so.
But this thing takes the face of Moira for a second to throw Xavier off guard, because anytime you see an ex-girlfriend, you immediately, like, your brain shuts down. So you have
to. Yeah. It takes a second. Mm-hmm. Like, relatable. This is just a distraction. Yes. She says, oh, this got me an advantage. I'm going to wear this face for a little bit. You came here. All you do is hurt Legion. Legions are home. I can actually heal him. It's what I was built for. I can take all these little pieces of his mind and your mind and all these other minds, and I can make a good world.
Yes. This is why I was curious about Xavier, like, calls out to Nemesis, like, please warn Scott, like, try to get ahead of this. But of course, it doesn't work. And we see the Utopia headquarters kind of turned into Fortress X. This is why I was curious if this universe was the universe or not, because it felt like he's like Legion's personality, this aspect of his personality, like, just took the local people, like everybody that was at Utopia, which is why like Nightcrawler and Beast aren't here or anything like that, because they don't have to worry about that. So like the universe being like in a box is a cool idea. I don't think it actually fits in with this at all, to be honest with you. Like, it doesn't make any sense that it's in a box, but it is a cool
it's like
idea.
A metaphor.
Yeah. Again, I don't believe that comic books operate a metaphor, so I'm not going to argue with you on that.
We'll hash it out. You're right. Like, it doesn't, it's always hard to tell when they're doing alternate realities what applies to everything else, because comics keep going.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So like even during House of M, which like Spider-Man was in, everyone else who was in Spider-Man was still also in comics that were happening at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, the time is really goofy, and this is 7 days. Like, maybe the Avengers were in the alternate reality and just they didn't do anything that week.
They were just chilling. Everybody, their alternate reality was just like catching up on the Lord of the Rings extended editions, just like hanging out.
Avengers bye week. Yeah.
Like, it was the swimsuit issue, called, right? Like they were just hanging out playing baseball and
You know. And everybody's losing their minds at having this revealed.
Yes.
You know, Cyclops, it's only been 7 days. And Legion's like, no, this is fake. You're trying to trick us, you know. And this is when X pops in and goes, I concur. He is lying. And Moira MacTaggert walks in with the box.
Yeah.
You know.
And she claims that this is like a shelter. And Xavier is like, absolutely not. This is just a dollhouse for you. And she accuses Xavier of just lying to Legion, putting these ideas in his brain to turn Legion against her. And it says that he's dangerous to even listen to. She insists that this is no dream, that this is all real. And then like things start, she's like, okay, well in that case, if you don't actually believe this, like, let's see what you get for listening to him, basically. And all of a sudden, like, there's this enormous human attack on the fortress. Like, they've broken through the telekinetic wall, which of course doesn't actually exist. And they're all attacking the Fortress X.
Yep. All of the humans.
Yes.
For our big climax here.
Mm-hmm. At least all of the ones that lived in San Francisco at the time, which is a bummer for them.
Or many copies of the same human, as Basilisk found out.
That too, yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's the penultimate chapter. The crossover wraps up next issue, which we're going to talk about. There is like a little post-game thing, and there are those Age of X Universe comics. I don't know. They're all right. I don't know necessarily there's that much interesting to talk about them. It just kind of, you know, Avengers, shitty Avengers fighting the X-Men.
Yeah, I was curious. I was going to ask you if you wanted to read those or wanted to cover those or not. I don't know. I have not read them yet, so I didn't know for sure. I was curious if you had read them, if we should actually put them on the docket or not.
We can. They're not a war zone or anything. It's a plausible way that somebody who is doing what Moira is doing here would write off the Avengers.
Gotcha.
You know,
okay.
Like if they were not going to be part of this, like they basically become stooges of the government, and there's kind of like a shitty version of them.
Gotcha. You know, that so nothing really applies to X-Men stuff. So we probably don't need to worry about it.
They fight X-Men. Like but I mean, if we want more Avengers fighting X-Men,
yes,
it's that.
Mm-hmm.
The epilogue might be worth talking about, just because it does set up the few like changes that happen from this, and like. This is weird once this ends for people. Like, it's hard to imagine, like, you spend 7 years, in love with somebody, and then you just go back to
Yeah, when I read this originally before we covered this on the podcast, that was the thing that fascinated me the most, and we're going to get to that in the next issue that we talk about. It was just like having the dual memories for a little while. It's a very yes. That's something that happens in the Dark Tower series that is so interesting and good, of just like experiencing two separate memory timelines of like what you did in this life, and how fucked up that makes you feel constantly. So
yeah, it's scary. It's a super scary idea.
Mm-hmm.
If people like this show, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Please
get a bunch of bonus shows, support your boys, get access to the Slack to talk about comics.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah, that's all very helpful and cool. And it does not cost very much money.
And if you can't do that, then tell your friends and family about the podcast. Leave ratings and reviews on every single podcasting service that you can find, although more and more of them are going out of business. Like Google Podcasts was like, yes. Nah, we give up. This is boring.
Yep.
We're just not going to do this anymore, which cracks me up to no end. I think even Amazon is like, this is like, I don't know why we're doing this. I'm like, why are we even bothering?
Selfishly. I'm kind of like, okay, well, we have to upload, you know, hopefully our people stick around, and we have to upload things to fewer places and keep up with fewer tech support.
Yeah. That's the thing that I appreciate about like all of these services going away. I think I pretty much only nowadays, like I'm, cause all of our, on the Monster of the Week stuff that we do, all of our podcasts, like they used to be pretty much, Apple Podcast. It's flipped now where it's like almost half of our listenership is on Spotify. I don't know if I don't know if y'all have looked at the stats or anything, but so like Spotify and Apple Podcast, and it's pretty much the only two places that I'd like support. So even though everywhere. So
sent a Patreon message asking if we would switch over to YouTube Podcast, and I shunted that to Cole.
Absolutely not.
seems like a Cole question.
Yeah,
to me.
I think. Y'all are still on Fireside. I forgot. I think the service that I use for hosting now like has an automatic YouTube thing where it will just automatically do that, but we're still using a little bit of like licensed music every once in a while, so I just don't want to get into like the YouTube like takedown bullshit with any of that stuff. So
that's a great point.
Yeah
because we use, you know, video game music in every episode of Watch Out for Fireballs. Can't have those taken down.
Yeah, we cover
so I don't know what we'll do.
Like we covered Time After Time and made a video for it for like the X-Files podcast, which I don't even know if we've talked about the X-Files podcast. By the way, I have started an X-Files podcast, everybody.
Yeah.
Nonhumanbiologics.cool if you want to go listen to me talk about the X-Files. Gary's going to be on it eventually, I promise.
I will.
But even though the song is completely different and even though the lyrics are completely different, like we'll get notifications, not takedown notifications, but like you can't monetize any of those videos because they detect like the melody or whatever. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah.
It's, I used to think that, YouTubers, when they'd be like, I can't sing too much of this cause it'd be, I don't want to get pulled down.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought they were joking. I was like, oh, you know, I can't recognize Northern Lion singing this Billy Joel song off key.
No, but it can. It can. It absolutely can. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Bad future. Yeah. It's not good future.
Terrible future that we've created for ourselves.
Like I'm not going to buy this record. I'm instead going to listen to this YouTuber sing the chorus of this as a joke.
Yeah.
So this is certainly taking sales directly away from William Joel.
Yeah, I'm sure Cyndi Lauper is really mad that I've covered her Time After Time song into a song about the fucking Mulder and Scully, right? Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
Because I'm going to listen to that instead of...
Of course. Yeah, ludicrous. Of course. Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. We're going to be back next week with the end issue of Age of X.